Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of United Christian Ambassadors Radio. That song was Jesus So Beautiful. That's my latest single. It's on Renegade Records. You can get it. You can download it on Amazon, iTunes. You can even get it on YouTube and you can see the video. It's a video on there too on YouTube. So that's Jesus So Beautiful by me, Pastor T. Meyer McCain. God bless you all, and hello and welcome to this edition of Christian Ambassadors Radio, also known as UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry and Church on the Phone. I would like to say a hearty hello to all of our UCA members and visitors. Hello. Okay, so right now I want you all to text or inbox all of your friends and family members and tell them to call in. The number is 646-668-8537. I'll repeat that, 646-668-8537. This is another powerful message today. You don't want to miss it. Okay, so look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Alignable, or LinkedIn, and just click on the link where you see the post of today's show. To listen on your computer, you can just click on the link and listen from your computer, or just like I said, dial in. Or if for some reason you missed today's program, that's no problem. Just click on the post wherever you see it, wherever you see the post on those formats that I was telling you about, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you see the post, just go ahead and click on it. And you can listen at any time of the day, any day this week or even next week and so on. And just click on it and the entire program will play. Okay. All righty. Hey, today, the title of my message today is the Melchizedek Priesthood. This is very important and many Christians should really know about this priesthood. You see, it's written in Job 33, verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. That means that if there be someone who has a message from God, one who can interpret the word of God, and there, believe me, there's just a few that can really, I mean, really, truly interpret the word of God. But if there be some, then they will show who you are. If there's some, like I said, very few, but if you happen to find someone that's a messenger, a really God-sent interpreter, then that person can show you your uprightness. That person can show you how great you are in Jesus Christ. Well, you have found one today, right now, me, Pastor T. Meyer. I am an interpreter and a messenger who is going to show you today just how powerful you are in Jesus. I am going to tell you that you are a Melchizedek priest and what that means. I would encourage you to listen carefully to this broadcast because you will finally know and understand what it truly means to be a Christian, a nation, a priesthood and kings, a priesthood of kings. The message today is the Melchizedek priesthood, and we are going to talk more about this Melchizedek priesthood in today's message, so don't go away. We'll be right back. Here's Sharon Youngblood in Commission to Serve.
Calling everyone to proclaim to be a Christian.
Come all ye
calling
Christians.
All the new recruits to the demolition.
Come fall in line.
Prepare yourself for the quick commission.
This world is in a critical situation.
It's critical.
Rumors of war and massive devastation.
You think a mission.
Good,
our own lifestyle aside,
we'll can deserve.
Wake up, soldiers. Wake up, sitting on the pew. Get up off the pew. The harvest is right, but the laborers are few. God has given us a mission.
We're on a mission.
Word everyone to reconcile with him, yes.
Who will work
in the vineyard today? On the front line, I'll be the first to go and send me city, Lord.
This is UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors. All true believers, workers, and disciples of Jesus Christ are ambassadors for Christ, which makes you a UCA member. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I pray for everyone that have tuned in to this radio broadcast. I ask that you touch their hearts, their minds, their spirits, and their souls, and let them be open and understand by your spirit and get the full revelation of this message today. Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. We thank you, Lord, for always, always giving us your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. The message today, the Melchizedek priesthood. Now, I have to say that the majority of Christians today really don't understand the Melchizedek priesthood, something that they really should know about. You know, some could care less about it, and they don't understand it. A lot of them, they just, even those that may have read about it, they just don't understand it, even though they may have read in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, about Melchizedek when he met Abraham after Abraham defeated four kings. And Melchizedek met him and blessed him. And then Melchizedek offered him bread and wine. Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Now let's stop here. This was a type of the Holy Communion, bread and wine, a type of the partaking of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So why did he serve Abraham bread and wine? And then 41 generations later, Jesus Christ serves Abraham's seed bread and wine. It appears to be Melchizedek serving Abraham's seed through serving Abraham again through his seed. And this is 41 generations later. Now, the reason I say that is because Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus Christ, Melchizedek, is serving Abraham's seed, bread, and wine. This is in Luke. Now, remember, in Genesis, it was Melchizedek serving Abraham bread and wine. And now, 41 generations later, Jesus Christ is serving Abraham's seed, bread and wine. It's just like Melchizedek again. Luke 22, verse 19 and 20. And he, meaning Jesus, took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, keep in mind, like I said, Jesus Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And here we have the greater is blessing the lesser again after 41 years. Melchizedek is considered the greater. Abraham was the lesser. So the greater, Melchizedek, is blessing the lesser, Abraham. And now we have Jesus Christ, the greater, blessing the lesser, his disciples, his apostles. Now, going back to Genesis, the scripture goes on to say, and he, speaking of Melchizedek, was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him. He blessed Abraham and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Now, what was that all about? Where did this Melchizedek guy come from? What qualified him to be called the priest of the Most High God? The scripture didn't say that he was a priest of the Most High God, but the scripture said that he was the priest of the Most High God. Who was this man? And what is the revelation behind this priesthood? Not only was his priesthood a revelation, but the man himself was a revelation, because just as mysteriously as he appeared in the Bible, he mysteriously disappeared. There was no mentioning of Melchizedek in scripture until about 14 generations later, when David spoke of him in the book of Psalms. And then there was no mentioning of Melchizedek after that until another 28 generations or so later, when the writer of Hebrews wrote of Melchizedek, sharing some good information about him and some good spiritual insight about the Melchizedek priesthood as well. But we will read more about Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews and learn a little bit more about him and the Melchizedek priesthood in a minute, because we need to see and understand why this priesthood is so important. Important because we are of that same priesthood. That's why it's so important. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to get more into what that priesthood is. We are of that same priesthood, but most Christians don't know it. And they really, be honest, they really don't care. Many Christians, as well as pastors, evangelists, and many who call themselves prophets and apostles, do not understand the Melchizedek priesthood. And they have no desire to understand it. Now, you know, to be realistic, I can understand why they don't understand it. It's very simple. It's because the revelation has to be revealed to them by the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. Either the Holy Spirit will give them the revelation of the Melchizedek priesthood, or they will see it in action. Then they will understand it, receive it, and desire it for themselves. Those who have seen, or those who have been given the revelation of Melchizedek and the Melchizedek priesthood, also did not understand it at first. They didn't understand it until it was revealed by the Spirit of God. That goes for me, too. I didn't understand it either. I didn't even know anything about Melchizedek or the Melchizedek priesthood until it was taught to me. And then it was revealed and confirmed by the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit unveils the mysteries that are written in the Bible. And one of the mysteries is Melchizedek himself and the Melchizedek priesthood. Now just hang with me, and you're gonna see who Melchizedek is, and you're gonna learn more about this priesthood of which you are a part of. Okay, so who is Melchizedek? And I know a lot of people have probably asked that question. The answer to that question is still not understood and cannot truly be answered by pastors, evangelists, theologians, or scholars. Many of them are not in agreement as to exactly who Melchizedek is. If you don't have the revelation of who he is, then you will not know or understand the Melchizedek priesthood. Most theologians look or approach Scripture in the natural. They use a lot of their own carnal way of thinking, using only their own intellect when looking at or approaching the Scriptures. Therefore, they do not rely on the Holy Spirit to give them full revelations. But the ones who do rely on the Holy Spirit, they are the ones who get the understanding. And many times when they try to speak on it or teach it, there are many who don't receive it. Many who disagree, and there are many who just don't understand the teaching, period, because the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed it to them. So they receive partial knowledge and partial understanding of Scripture. When it comes to Melchizedek, some scholars and theologians claim that Melchizedek was the descendant of one of Abraham's brothers. Some say that he was Shem, Noah's firstborn son. But that wasn't true because Shem died a good while before Abraham was born. So who is this Melchizedek? Some say that he was Jesus Christ himself. And there are many clues that would substantiate that belief more so than all the others. For example, the writer of Hebrews says that Melchizedek has no mother or father. Verse 1 through 3. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Okay, here's the first thing. Why did Abraham give this man a tenth of his spoils? Why? Because it was an offering to a priest. Yes, but why this particular man? Okay, we're going to just hang in there. We're going to answer that. Let's continue reading. First being, by interpretation, king of righteousness. Now, he's still talking about Melchizedek. The Hebrew writer is still talking about Melchizedek. He said, first being by interpretation, king of righteousness. He's king of righteousness, Melchizedek? Okay, so let's just break it down a bit. First of all, what is a king? Well, the best words to describe a true and holy king is chief, lawful, wise, worthy, and strong. A holy king is master. He is crowned. He is gracious, rightful, and sacred. A holy king is loyal and royal, powerful, holy, legitimate, and fierce. All of that describes Jesus Christ our Lord, because God's true, holy, and appointed and anointed king is Jesus Christ, the ruler of all. He is the one who inherited the fullness of God, the fullness of God the Father, and sits at the right hand of God forever. Jesus Christ is the only God-man that has dominion over the heavens and the earth. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, I'm sorry, chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That means everything that exists. Therefore, Jesus was made King of Kings and also the King of Glory and the King of the universe, because all power has been given to him by God the Father himself. Okay, so now Melchizedek is called King of Righteousness. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is one of the chief attributes of God. Righteousness is the quality of being virtuous, honorable, and morally right. It is to be righteous. To be righteous means to do what is right, obeying the law, God's word, his commands, a man of morals. Righteousness is the condition of being in the right relationship, a right relationship, a good fellowship, and a oneness with the Lord. This can only happen through total faith, belief, trust, love, and dependence upon Jesus Christ. We are righteous because God pronounces us as right, as being righteous. If God says we are righteous, then we are righteous because he clothes us with himself. Therefore, we put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ so that when God sees you, he sees Jesus in you. Jesus is the righteous one. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. Jesus gives us his righteousness, and our righteousness are our righteous deeds, our acts, our works. And it is the glorious covering of Jesus Christ upon us. Now, let's go back to Hebrews, where the Hebrew writer is still describing Melchizedek. He says, and after that also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Now, what is meant by King of Peace? This man, Melchizedek, is King of Peace. What is peace? Covers a lot of things like security, the promise of a good future. Now I'm talking about God's peace. It covers safety, having God's peace give you the basic needs that people in the midst of violent conflict desperately want and seek. God's peace keeps you calm. God's peace gives you joy, hope, and strength in the Lord. God's peace means that you have strong faith in God. God's peace gives you freedom, health, and wealth. God's peace is internal and external. When you are at peace, God's peace, God prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. God's peace relaxes you like being beside still waters. God's peace takes away all fear. God's peace is his rest. Who is it that can give you this kind of peace? Only Jesus can give you peace that is far beyond the knowledge of man. Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace, and now he is also the King of Peace. Let us continue in Hebrews. The writer is still describing Melchizedek. But this time he's describing Melchizedek as having no beginning of days and no end of life. Let's continue reading. He says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Okay, so who is it that is from eternity to eternity? Who is it who was it that was with the Father before the world was? Who is from everlasting to everlasting? The answer, Jesus Christ, our Lord, God manifested in the flesh. Believe me when I tell you this, There is no man. There's no one, no man or woman, who is without mother, father, and without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but Jesus Christ only. So what was the writer of Hebrews trying to tell us? Was he trying to tell us who this Melchizedek is? Let's continue. But made, speaking still of Melchizedek, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. He remains a priest continually. Who abides a priest forever? Who? Who abides a priest forever? Answer, Jesus. The Hebrew writer says that he is a priest forever, and also the writer of Psalm chapter 110, verse 4. It says it well. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is called our high priest in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. So now I ask, what is a priest? A real, true, holy priest is a mediator between God and man. But in the natural, a priest is someone who administers things like baptisms and administrate or oversees the administration of the church. A priest stands in the gap for the congregation through prayer and supplication. The job of the priest is to continually strengthen and establish someone in the faith by teaching and counseling and preaching to the congregation the pure word of God, while being a good example of holiness. A real priest brings the congregation to a closer walk with God, and they administer the Holy Communion, which is the partaking of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament priest used to offer lambs and bulls as sacrifices before the Lord, but that's not necessary anymore, thanks to Jesus. You see, a priest officiates marriages, anoint and pray for the sick, but a real true Melchizedek priest also heals and casts out demons and raises the dead. Priests are like pastors and shepherds. They watch over the flock of Jesus Christ, God's flock. But Jesus is the ultimate high priest, because unlike the Levitical priests, who offered lambs and bull sacrifices for the covering of the sins of the people and even for themselves, Jesus offered himself as a sacrificial lamb to die for the world. And his death didn't just cover our sins, it did away with our sins forever. He offered himself to be hated, despised, afflicted, smitten, beaten, wounded, and even killed. He was like a lamb brought to the slaughter, and he did it all to free us from our sins and reconcile us back to the Father. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 8. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He didn't resist it. He didn't try to fight against it when he was being beaten and crucified. He didn't try to fight it. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. That's why Jesus was the ultimate high priest and a priest forever. He didn't offer sacrifices. He became the sacrifice himself. The priesthood of Jesus Christ is the priesthood that is after the order of Melchizedek. And now, as Paul tells us, we are of that same priesthood because of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7, verse 26, Paul says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Look at how blessed we are that God would make us priests after the order of Melchizedek. What a total blessing. Jesus made us kings and priests, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God confirms it in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation also, that we are indeed going to be kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, and has made unto us, or has made us, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. In the Old Testament, the Lord was going to make Israel a kingdom of priests, but they blew it because of their unbelief. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. He said, this is the Lord talking to Moses. He said, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." God told Moses, "Say these words to the children of Israel." Because that was in God's heart, to make Israel a kingdom of priests, but they rejected him. Don't let unbelief enter into your hearts, or you will miss out on your kingship and your priesthood, and it will go to another. So don't let anyone steal your crown. Christianity is a nation. Christianity is a holy nation. Peter called us a royal priesthood. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. He's talking about Christians, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because God has prophesied it. He prophesied this. So because he prophesied it, we shall be kings and priests. Okay, but what kind of priest? Melchizedek priest. Because the Melchizedek priesthood is the only priesthood that you can be a king and a priest. Jesus is our great king, and he is also our high priest. And we are after that order. So why is this priesthood so important? Because this priesthood confirms God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This priesthood is the priesthood that will bring the world into the kingdom age, which is the age to come. This priesthood is a priesthood of power, a priesthood of signs and wonders, of miracles, of great and powerful works in the name and under the authority of Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's all for the glory of God the Father. God has placed the seven spirits of God inside of all of his Melchizedek priesthoods, or all of his Melchizedek priests. The same seven spirits of God that is before his throne, God has placed them inside of all of his Melchizedek priests. God's seven candlesticks rest on the seven golden lampstand, which is God's last day, seven golden candlestick church of Melchizedek priests. Now, I hope I'm not getting too deep for you, because people that are regularly reading their Bibles, they will understand a lot that I'm saying. For those of you who don't read your Bible that much or really don't understand it, just stay in prayer and the Holy Spirit will enlighten you. You will start to understand what I'm saying. With Jesus Christ, that seven candlestick church is written in the book of Revelation. You'll find Jesus Christ right in the midst of it. That's God's church. God's true church has Jesus Christ in the midst of it. His last day church, true last day church. There's a lot of churches out there, but God has, he's putting together his last day golden seven lampstand church. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. And John is talking. He said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. He goes on to describe Jesus Christ in the midst of his church. The seven spirits of God is the fire that burns upon the seven golden candlesticks, which is upon the lampstand. Revelation 4, chapter 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Understand that God sends out his seven spirits all over the earth. He sends out his seven spirits all over the world through his last day golden church, through his last day seven candlestick golden church, because the candlesticks holds the fire of God. Revelation 5, verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and at the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Understand that's important for the last day church. For churches, we have to have the seven spirits of God in us. That's the sevenfold anointing of Holy Spirit and fire power. We have to have it. Otherwise, we're just commercial. We're just talking. We have to carry the seven spirits of God into all the world. It is written that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which means that he is the King above all kings on the earth. And he is the Lord of all. But especially, he is the King of the kings that he has established, and the King and the Lord of the Lords that he has established, which is us. He is our King. We are his Melchizedek priesthood. Therefore, he sends us out into all the world with the sevenfold anointing of Holy Spirit and fire power, which is the seven spirits of God working miracles, doing the works that Jesus does and greater works, because he is in us, working through us. Jesus is in us, and he's working through us. We are an ordained priesthood, ordained to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. And I'm talking about doing this on a regular basis, every day, all the time. This will be normal. Healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, walking on water, multiplying food, controlling the weather, and being transported anywhere in the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. We will be able to speak any language on earth and in the heavens. Once we are anointed with the seven spirits of God, we are ordained to serve the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, the Holy Communion, and cause the Holy Spirit to fall on those we minister to in a great and powerful way. Yes, indeed. We'll be able to speak any language on earth and in heaven. We are able. We will be able to appear and disappear. And I'm talking about Christians, people that are fully anointed by God, going out into all the world, showing the world that God is real. Jesus is truly Lord. Anointing is coming to the church. We will be able to appear and disappear, go through walls and even fly, and much, much more. We will not be limited in our abilities because we will have God's abilities. Therefore, we will be able to do anything. All we have to do is think something and it's done. Think of a place and we're there. How is all of this possible? Because we will have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has all power, dominion, and authority over the heavens and the earth. Yes, we are to be priests forever after the order of Jesus Christ, which is after the order of Melchizedek, which is after the order of the Son of God, which is after the order of God. To God be the glory. Amen. That's my message today. I truly pray that you guys understood that, because this is a deep message. I know I went a little deep for you today, but I pray that the Holy Spirit gave you some understanding, at least a part of it, to make you want to desire or at least have an understanding to be a Melchizedek priest and what it's all about. I pray that you understand it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Here's Big Daddy Weave, Jesus, I Believe. And it's important for you to believe.
I want to walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence and know you're near. I want to see you, Jesus, move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. Even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I want to say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus, who hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. And it's you in exchange for me. It's even is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your kingdom come, and let your will be done here. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, I believe. Here are the scriptures for the week. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Here's another song by me. It's called Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you have never known the Lord, if you haven't given your heart to the Lord, and you maybe you want it to, but you just keep putting it off, or if you know the Lord, but maybe you haven't been walking the way you should, and you want to rededicate yourself. So for both, if you don't know the Lord, you want to know the Lord, and if you know the Lord, but you want to rededicate yourself, just repeat after me these words. Father God, I repent and ask that you forgive me for all of my sins. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross and that you raised him from the dead. I accept and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in my life as my Lord, Savior, and King. And I believe that he is the Son of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Now I ask that you accept me in your life so that you can live your life through me, O Lord. And let me be a child of God. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. That's it. That's it. It's done. Now all you have to do is find a place and be baptized, or even if you have to jump in the tub and dip yourself in water, just be baptized and then receive the Holy Spirit of the living God. Thank you for tuning in today. I really love it when people tune in, and I pray that they get something out of the messages and the songs that are played, and that you are all being very, very much blessed. We're here every week at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Remember that. Now, this is a worldwide radio program, so check your time zone wherever you are all over the world and dial that number or just click on wherever you see the post of this particular program. Keep in mind that we also have a Wednesday night at 8 p.m. program. It's called Christian Talk with me and my wife and I. We're the host of Christian Talk, and most of the time we have special guest, so you can tune in, and I'm sure you'll be blessed when you tune in. That's 8 p.m. On every Wednesday Pacific time, okay? So check your time zone, and it's the same number, 646-668-8537. You will see posts and advertising of our program, so just be ready for it and dial in or listen from your computer. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining in. And I will see you again in the spirit next Monday with another message and with music. God bless you all. Bye-bye.